This Shabbos, besides being Parshas Balak, is also Shivasa B'Tammuz, which many years Shivasa B'Tammuz falls out on Shabbos. When a fast day falls out on Shabbos, especially one associated with Churban, one associated with Golus, when it's Shabbos, then we are zoche to feel the pnimius of the Ta'anis, the real essence of the fast, what this day is going to be and what this day was supposed to be. Shavasa B'Tammuz, as we know, is going to be a Yom Tov, Pasuk says so in Zechariah, that the day will be Nishapech, Yehofech, Hatzoyim Haravi, Vitzoyim Hachamishi, Vitzoyim Hashivi, Vitzoyim Hasiri, Yehiyah L'Sosein L'Simcha, including Shavasa B'Tammuz. This year, not only Shavasa B'Tammuz is Shabbos, but Tisha B'Av is also Shabbos. Therefore, we have a schus this year to begin the 3 weeks on Shabbos, and that itself is a hamtaka. Hamtaka meaning that itself calms the Midas Hadin, the fact that it's on Shabbos when it says Vayichal Elokim b'yom hashvi. There is no Elokim. There's no Midas Hadin on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we see what it really is. What the panemius comes out, so we get a taste of the Shavasa B'Tammuz of La'asid Lovay, the Shavasa B'Tammuz, which was supposed to be the day that we were supposed to receive the Luchais, had the Egel not been made. So this year we're privileged that it's on Shabbos Parashas Balak. Balak is the Shabbos, the Parasha of Geula. Balak has in it the promise, the prophecy that the Rambam elaborates in the end of Hilchas Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Melachim, Halacha Beis, where the Rambam discusses there the proofs for the coming of Mashiach in the Torah itself, where the Rambam says that someone who does not believe in the coming of Mashiach and does not anticipate his coming, not only does he deny all the prophecies of the prophets, which clearly talk about Yemais HaMashiach, but he also denies the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. He brings the pasuk in the Tzavim, V'shav Hashem Elokecha es Shavuscha V'richamecha, V'shav V'kibetcha Mikol HaAmim, which is talking about the ingathering of the exiles. And then he says, V'af B'parshas Bilam, Niba B'shnei HaMashichim, that in the parasha of Bilam, he means what we call Balak, which is the Nevuah of Bilam, Bilam prophesizes about the two messiahs, two Mashichim, David and Mashiach. David, the Rambam elaborates and discusses the psukim in this week's parasha, how one pasuk is referring to David HaMelech and the other is referring to Mashiach. Machatz Pa'asei Moyav is talking about David. V'karkar Kol B'nei Sheis is talking about Mashiach. Dorach Koichav Miyakov is talking about David. V'kom Shevet Miyisrael is talking about Mashiach. And the Rambam tells us that in Parshas Balak it's been prophesied, it's explicitly in the Torah itself, not only in the prophets, which that should be sufficient, but for those who think that if it doesn't say it in the Torah, it's not sufficient, it says it in the Torah, and the promise is here. And it was said by a goy. And the Rambam tells us it's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, we mentioned this many times, what the Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva. The reason why the Rambam calls this The reason why the Rambam says that a person who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach denies what it says in the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu? Is Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah? Are there two separate entities? Parshas Balak is unique, different than any other parsha in the Torah, that we only know that it's true because Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us. No one witnessed it. Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not witness it. It happened on a mountain far away. The whole story this week with Balak and Bilam and the donkey, and all the prophecies was said, the whole story transpired far away, and the only reason we know it, that we know it to be true, is because Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us. That's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though it's Parshas Balak, and it's the Nevuah of Bilam, but it was told to us by Moshe, and that's how we know it's true. Every other story in Chumash, Klal Yisrael witnessed with their own eyes, as the Rambam writes, that the Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu at that time was because they saw with their own eyes. It wasn't that they weren't told stories. They saw Kriyas Yamsef, they saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, they saw Melchemes Amalek, they saw the Mun, they saw the well, they saw the clouds, and all the other miracles mentioned in the Chumash. This story, no one saw. This is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So one who denies that which it says in Parashas Balak is not only a denier of the Torah, he's a denier of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this year, it's on Shivasa B'Tammuz. Shivasa B'Tammuz, the day that we know of that the five tragedies occurred, that the Mishnah enumerates in Ta'anis, the breaking of the Luchais, the burning of a Sefer Torah by the Roman emperor, by the Roman general Apostumus, Menashe setting up an idol in the Heichal, the Karban Tamid, no longer Batel HaTamid, Hufka Ohoir, the wall around Yerushalayim breached. Shivasa B'Tammuz was also a very, very special day. It was the day, says the Chasam Sofer in the Drushes, that Boaz married Rus, meaning that the seed of Malchus Beis David was planted on Shivasa B'Tammuz. Just like Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, the seed of Malchus Beis David begins on Shivasa B'Tammuz. And it's actually in this week's parasha where Malchus Beis David is mentioned over and over again, as we mentioned before, beginning with Balak himself, who Balak, as Chazal tell us, is the great-grandfather of Rus. In fact, the Gemara says that because Balak sacrificed 42 karbonos, he was zeicha that Rus came out of him. Rus, great-grandmother of David, Rus marries Boaz, Shivasa B'Tammuz, this Shabbos. Meaning, the Geula starts on Shivasa B'Tammuz. And this Shabbos, we're also introduced to Eliyahu HaNavi, the Malach HaBris, Eliyahu HaNavi, who is going to initiate the Messianic era, the one who will be Mevaser, the Geula. Eliyahu starts his career at the end of Parshas Balak, before we get to Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas Ze Eliyahu, as Chazal tell us, according to one opinion, that's the opinion that is widely accepted, that Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi. And where did Pinchas become Eliyahu HaNavi? Why does he deserve to be Eliyahu HaNavi? Because of what he did in this week's parasha at the end, where he saves Klal Yisrael, where he kills Zimri and Cosby, where he attempts and where he succeeds in stopping the Magefa, and he's Moser Nefesh for Kedushas Yisrael, and does something against his nature, totally against his nature, as we see in next week's parasha, that the Torah praises him and mentions the fact that he's a grandchild of Aaron, a lover of peace. So his killing of Cosby and Zimri didn't come from any cruelty that he inherited, perhaps from his other grandfather Yisrael, as we see in Rashi in next week's parasha. It comes from Aaron. So what he did was against his nature, and he is benched to become Eliyahu HaNavi, who lives forever, the Malach HaBris, who attends every Bris Milah, and who the Yismach Moshe says attends every Pidyon HaBein. The Yismach Moshe tells us on the Pasuk, Kadosh li kol b'chor, petah kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael, b'adam b'vavehem, lihu. That's the Pasuk, first Pasuk that we say when we put on the Tefillin every day. It's one of the parashiyos written in the Tefillin, Parashas Bo'i, where it talks about sanctifying all the firstborns. It ends with the words Lihu. Says the Yismach Moshe, Lihu is Oisius Eliyahu. And the Yismach Moshe says that Eliyahu comes to every Pidyon HaBein. That Eliyahu HaNavi comes to a bris, that we know. That in fact, the Targum Yoidison brings it next week on the Pasuk of Ochein Emor, Hinim Nyoisein Lo Yisbrisi Sholoim. But that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Pidyon HaBein, that's a novelty, that's a chiddush, that the Yismach Moshe and some others who quote him bring down B'negeya to Pidyon HaBein. We're mentioning this because at the end of this week's parasha, when we come to the last prophecy of Bilam, where Bilam is speaking about the current events of our time, where Bilam is talking about the wars that are going to take place prior to the coming of Mashiach, which the Zohar in this week's parasha at the end, the famous Zohar that everyone quotes, is in Balak, where it talks about Yishmael and Esav and Klal Yisrael and the wars that are going to take place before the Messianic era begins, which the Targum Yonason brings down here at the end of Parshas Balak. There, Bilam says, "Vayisam eshalay vayoymar, oy mi yichye mi sumay keil." Whoa. Who is going to be alive? Who is going to be able to live? When Hashem sets it. Misumai Kael. What exactly does this mean? Rashi brings here that it means who is going to be able to survive Hashem's wrath. When Hashem is going to punish all the nations at the end of time, no one's going to be able to run away. Everyone's going to get what they deserve. And the last pasuk is about the boats, perhaps the aircraft carriers that we're hearing about today. V'tzim miyat kitim, the boats that are going to come from other nations. V'inu asher, v'inu eiver. V'gamu adei oived, and that's how it ends. And it's clearly this last pasuk or two are talking about the last moments of Golus. Tells us the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara says over there, Oy la oisa uma, woe is it to that nation that is going to exist at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa pidyon lebanav, when Hashem is going to make a pidyon habein, when Hashem is going to redeem his firstborn, when Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people. Says the Marsha, misumai kael. Kael, which is Hashem's name, is part of the name of the Jewish people as well, Yisra'el. At that time, says the Marsha, the Pasuk is saying that at the time when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to put his name back. In other words, Hashem is going to once again announce that we are his people, and everyone's going to recognize that we are the Am Yisrael, Misumai Kael. The Ben Yehoyada says on that Gemara that that's coming to exclude Esav. Perhaps it's also coming to exclude, and even more so, Yishmael, who does have Hashem's name in his, the only nation of the 70 nations that can claim that part of his name is also part of Hashem's name, is Yishmael. Yishmael. In fact, that's the reason why he was called Yishmael. Kishama Hashem Elonyeich. So, there's sort of a contest here between Yisrael, Yishmael. At that time, Oymi Ichya Misumai Kael, in the future, meaning at the last moment of Golus, well, we know that the last moments of Golus is the downfall of Yishmael, as we mentioned many times with the Baal HaTurim tells us, Al Pnei Kolech of Nofo, which is Begematria Doir Acharein, the last generation that's going to experience the downfall of Yishmael. When Yishmael falls, that's when David HaMelech, that's when Eila told us Yitzchak, David Ben Yishai, that's when Mashiach comes. Mashiach's rise is after the downfall of Yishmael. Misumai Kael. Misumai is the same letters as Umisham, as we say in the Pasuk, which the Rambam quotes as one of the proofs for the coming of Mashiach. Misham Yekabetzcha Hashem Elokecha Umisham Yikachecha. Umisham, which is Begematria David Ben Yishai. David Malkah Mashiach, who is David Mashiach, same neshama. David Ben Yishai is Misumai Kael. When David Ben Yishai comes, when Mashiach comes, when Yishmael falls, our name is restored. It's Yisrael, and the expression that the Gemara uses here is Pidyon Lebon. If Hashem is going to redeem His children. And here we have Eliyahu HaNavi introduced for the first time by Yair Pinchas Ben Elazar. Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Eliyahu, who attends every Pidyon HaBen, is certainly to be mentioned here in the parasha that tells us that Hashem is going to redeem His children at the end of time. To elaborate a little bit on this, the parasha begins, Vayar Bolot ben Sipor eis kol ha'sha'asa Yisrael lo emoiri. And then it says, Vayogar Moyav mipnei ha'om. And then it says, Vayokotz Moyav mipnei b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk first begins that Balak sees everything that the Jewish people did to the Amori, literally as Rashi says, to the two kings of Sichon and Og. Vayogar Moyav, meaning the people of Moyav are afraid because of the the nation. And then it says, Moyav is disgusted mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Sfarim tell us various interpretations in the first pasuk. What did Balak really see? What was Balak really afraid of? Didn't they know that the Jews were not allowed to attack Moav bizman hagolus al tzaras Moav yal tiskar ba milchama? So what's Balak afraid of? This whole story, as far as tell us, didn't have to happen. It was all just to show the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. Because if Balak would have realized that the Jews weren't coming to attack him anyway, he never would have hired Bilam. This whole story never would have happened. So the whole fear, which was an unjustified fear, was only Hashem made him afraid that because of that, he'll hire Bilam, and we have the whole parasha here of Balak and all the nevuahs of Bilam, which all came about because of an unnecessary fear, because the Jews weren't coming to attack him anyway. But Balak sees more than that. Balak sees the future. He sees Mashiach. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor. Tzipor is Oisius Peretz. David ben Parzi. Balak sees Yemois HaMashiach. Hashem shows Balak the future. So Balak sees that Moav is going to be wiped out. He's like living in the future, and that's why he thinks it's going to happen now already. That's why Bilam tells him, Erenu v'loy ata. I see what you see, but it's not now. Ashurenu v'loy kara. You don't have to worry about it. The Geula is not going to take place in your lifetime. Balak sees something else too. Balak also sees what happened in the past. What happened in the past was that Yaakov takes away the Bechorah from Esav. And there Yaakov's name becomes Yisrael, which the name Yisrael, the name itself suggests the power of the Jewish people, that we are going to win. We are going to defeat the nations, and we are going to even to defeat the angels who defend the nations. In fact, the name Yisrael, Yoshar Kel, Kisorisa, Im Elohim, V'Imanoshim Vatucha. What's the reason behind the name Yisrael? As the Pasuk itself says in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov was fighting the Malach, was that the Jewish people will overcome the Satan. The Satan is a Malach, which is what the Malach meant when he said, you don't have to ask me my name. When Yaakov asks him, what's your name? He says, Lama Zatisha Alashmi, you can figure it out yourself. The word Yaakov, if you take the word Satan, you add it to the word Yaakov, which is 359 plus 182, you get 541, which is Yisrael. From the fact that I changed your name to Yisrael, Yaakov, you should figure out who I am, because you now overpower the Satan. Since Yaakov overpowers the Satan, he is now Yisrael, and you will now become Hashem's firstborn. Bini Bechori Yisrael. Hashem seals the document, as Rashi says in Parashat Shemois, when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Paro, you're starting up with my firstborn. Bini Bechori Yisrael, says Rashi over there, that's where Hashem signed sort of the document that Yaakov bought the Bechayra from Esav, Vayivez Esav es HaBechayra. Yaakov bought it from Esav and gave it to Yosef. Ve'ani nosati l'cho shchem achad al achecho, asher lokachti miyad ho'emoyri b'char b'yivakashti. Tells us Rashi there, according to the second shot, Yaakov is telling Yosef, I took away the Bechayra, shchem achad, the extra portion from Emori, that's Esav, and that's what I'm giving you. He took it away from Reuven, because of the story of and he gave it to Yosef. Yosef is considered the Bechor in that respect. Yosef's Shevet is split into two. As far as that, Yosef is the Bechor. Some say as far as other events, as far as other things also. But the fact that Yosef's Shevet is split, which no other Shevet was Zeichet to, Yaakov is giving that extra portion, which he took away from Esav, that he's giving to Yosef. And this is in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov is explaining to Yosef that he shouldn't be upset that he put Ephraim before Menashe. So Yaakov is explaining to Yosef, you should know, Bechorah is not genetic. You have to deserve it. Or I took it away from my older brother because he didn't deserve it. I'm giving it to you, even though you're not the oldest. And I'm giving it to Ephraim, even though he's younger than Menashe. Bechorah goes by who deserves it. Hashem designated us, Klal Yisrael, as his firstborn. Bini Bechorah Yisrael. Of course, this concept of Bechorah that was given to Yosef by Yaakov was contested by the Shvatim. The Shvatim fought against Yosef, because they felt that it was a mistake. As we mentioned many times during those parashas, they talk about Mechiras Yosef. And according to the Yerushalmi that Rashi brings in Bamidbar, the reason why we have to redeem a firstborn with five coins, which is Esrim Kesef, because Yosef was sold for Esrim Kesef. So Pidyon HaBein is a tikkun for the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was sold by the Midyanim, and he was sold by the Yishmaelim. We know that Pinchas, who was a descendant of Yosef, he's the son of Elazar, who married from the daughters of Putiel. Putiel is Yosef, Shepitpet B'Yitzroi. As we're going to see in next week's parasha, that Pinchas takes revenge from Midyan for their role in selling his great-grandfather Yosef HaTzadik. Certainly then, that Pinchas, Eliyahu HaNavi, is going to play a very important role when Hashem is going to redeem us, when the actual Pidyon HaBein is going to take place, La'osid, from Yishmael, who also played a role in the Mechira of Yosef HaTzadik. As the Psukim tell us clearly, Vayimkru es Yosef la'Yishmaelim, miyad ha'Yishmaelim asher ha'ridu hushama. Certainly Yishmael plays a role in selling Yosef, who's the Bechor, Yishmael, Bepnimius, Yishmael contends that they are the firstborn. They are the ones in which Hashem's name appears. Yishmael, Yishmael. As we see today, they claim that they are the chosen people, or they claim that they are the ones that belong on the Makom HaMikdash. They're trying to prevent the fifth expression, the Hevesi, from taking place, the fifth expression of Geula, the Hevesi, which is B'gematria Mashiach ben David. Keneged, the fifth cup, which is the cup of Eliyahu Hanavi. Yosef was sold 5 times, Chazal tell us. So every Pidyon HaBen, we redeem our firstborns with 5 silver coins, which the Gemara calls it a Yeshua HaBein. It's a Yeshua for the child, and it's also a Yeshua. Every Pidyon HaBen is a step in the direction of, is a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, because a Pidyon HaBen, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Pidyon HaBen to take revenge for what was done to Yosef HaTzadik. Eliyahu is Pinchas, Pinchas is Eliyahu, Pinchas is a descendant of Yosef. Just like he took revenge from Midian, will take revenge from Yishmael. So here, in Parshas Balak, where the last Nevuah that Balak, that Bilam tells Balak, Oy mi yichya misumai keil, that it la'asid, the name Yisrael, the word keil, everyone will recognize that it belongs in Yisrael and not in Yishmael. That's the Pidyon HaBein. Oy la la'isa umah shenimtza b'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oysa pidyon lebanav, as we mentioned from the Gemara before in Sanhedrin. That's why Eliyahu HaNavi is here. Eliyahu HaNavi is in the Pasha, because Eliyahu HaNavi is associated with Pidyon. Eliyahu HaNavi, who comes to every Pidyon HaBein, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the one who's going to usher in the Messianic era, who's going to bring us to the Zman of Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. So Balak sees this. Balak sees Eis Kol HaShe'osa Yisrael Lo Emori. Balak sees what Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, did to the Amori, that's Esav. Ashalokachti miyad ha-Emori b'charbi v'kash. Balak sees that Yaakov took the Bechira from Esav, and that he has the name Yisrael. And that name Yisrael is what's bothering Balak, and what's bothering all the nations ad hayom hazeh. They can't take the fact that Klal Yisrael, that we are the Am Yisrael. You'll notice in this parasha, whenever Balak and Bilam speak to each other, they never call the Jews by the name Yisrael. Never. They never refer to them as Yisrael. It's always Ha'am or Am. When Bilam is prophesizing, then he does say Yisrael. But otherwise, they never use that word. Or, Hine Am Yotzam Yimitzrayim. They won't say the name. They will not call us by the name Yisrael. Purposely. Throughout the parasha, over and over again, it's only Hine Ha'am Hayotzei Mitzrayim. L'cha na'or ali, lo'isor es ha'am. Then later the pasuk says that Bilam says to Balak, maybe we'll go somewhere else. Balak says to Bilam, I'll take you someplace else. Maybe we'll be able to see the nation over there. Never do they call him Yisrael. Why? Because they don't recognize that we are Yisrael. That's why the first phrase that was given to Paroi, who Bilam was his advisor, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, you're starting up with Am Yisrael, and we are called Yisrael no matter what, even after we sin. And that's what Balak and Bilam and all the Goyim don't understand, that because a Jew, B'pnimius, does not want to sin. The pasuk says Chata Yisrael in Yehoshua by the story of Achan. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mandala, the Gemara says Afal Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. Even if a Jew sins, he's still called Yisrael. A Jew is always a Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba. That's what Balak and Bilam are trying to eradicate. Balak and Bilam are trying to be Ma'orer Kitchrug on Klal Yisrael. They're trying to remind Hashem, as if Hashem needs to be reminded of all the chatoim of Klal Yisrael, specifically the chato ego. As it says, Vayosem el hamidbar pana, Bilam faces the desert. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it here. He looked at to the area where the ego was made. He said, perhaps if I bring up the story of the ego, we'll be able to accomplish something over here. But the next pasuk after that, right after it says, Vayosem el hamidbar pana, it says, Vayar Bilam ki toiv be'enei Hashem levorech Vayisa Bilam es einav Vayar es Yisrael. After Vayosh es el hamidbar ponav, Bilam is mentioning the Egel. What's the next pasuk? Vayaras Yisroel. They're still called Yisroel, despite the Chet HaEgel. And here we see this especially at the end of the parasha. When we come to the end of the parasha, the pasuk says, Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. Vayochel Ha'am Liznoisel B'noi Smoiv. Then it says later, Vayitzomed Yisroel Va'al Pa'or. So the Al-Shech HaKodesh asks, why do we refer to Klal Yisroel as Yisroel over here? We're talking about a Chet, and a Chet that's really, if you think, equal to Chet HaEgel, maybe even worse. There's Nus, there's assimilation here, there's Avodah Zarah here, Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. In fact, especially according to the opinion in Chazal that Shitim is Miloshen Shtus, Rashi says here, Kach Shema, it's the name of a place. But if it's the name of a place, says Mefarshim, it should say Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. What's Bashitim with a Pasach? Behashitim, what does that mean? So one opinion in Medrash is Miloshen Shtus, which the Targum Edison brings, that they became involved in Shtus, in stupidity and foolishness. The Orachayim HaKadosh, whose yard site is this Friday, is Chusayog and Olenev Al Kol Yisrael. The Orachayim HaKadosh says the Torah is telling you why they fell in this episode here at the end of the parish where 24,000 die in a Magefa, where Pinchas is introduced, where Zimri takes Cosby. Why did they sin? Because they, Vayesh of Yisrael, Bashitim, it was the place. It was the Mokom. The Mokom was Goreim. They were in a place where there was a lot of immorality, where there was a lot of shtus going on, where there was a lot of Avodah Zorah being worshipped. It had an effect on them. Similar to the situation we find ourselves now. We find ourselves now in Mekaymais that we can definitely call Shitim. Yet the Torah refers to us as Yisrael. The Al-Shech gives the Torah. It's why we are called Yisrael here, because he says that the Benois Mayav and the Benois Midian were ordered to attack two different groups of the Jewish people. First they were told to try to seduce the plain folk, which won't be hard to get them, but the main goal was to get the tzaddikim. You see, Zimri. Zimri was a tzaddik. Zimri was Shaul ben Akananis. Zimri is the son of Shimon himself. Zimri is man, he's one of the 70 neshamos who went down to Mitzrayim. They were all tzaddikim. That's who Cosby started up with. Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. So the Al-Shech gives a whole hezbri of why the Torah refers to them as Yisroel, even though really they were sinners. We know whenever the Torah talks about Klal Yisroel, when they're not on a high level, they're not referred to as Yisroel, either Yaakov or Am. Yet over here, the Torah stresses, Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. Vayitzomed Yisroel Leva'al Pe'or. Vihine ish mi b'nei Yisroel bo. Vayakrev Alecha Ves Hamidyonis. Ish Yisroel v'yaso Isha El Kavasa. Very strange that a sinner, and we're talking about Zimri, should be referred to as Yisroel here. Or the Klal in general, when they came to this place and when they fell so low, are referred to as Yisroel. And perhaps the answer is, the Torah is teaching us, this is the parasha of Geula, this is the parasha that promises us all the prophecies that are going to take place prior to the Geula. We are going to find ourselves prior to the Geula in a similar situation, in fact, an exact situation, as the Jews did then. Except today, at least, we can say, Anusin Hayinu. Today, the generation is a Tinoikos Shenishbu. It's not really their fault. Assimilation rampant today cannot be compared, really, to the situation then. There's certainly a limud zchus on our generation, on the last few generations here in America, which is the Shitim of our time. Vayeshev Yisroel Bashitim. And the Torah is being menachem us that the name Yisroel will always remain with Klal Yisroel. The Jewish people are always called Yisroel. Even when they sin, the Haraya, Yaakov had to wear Esav's clothes when he went to take away the brachos from Yitzchak. Rivka ordered him to put on Esav's clothing. Tell us the Sfarim. There was a hint that in the future, when Yaakov is going to look like Esav, that even when Yaakov is wearing the garb of Esav, that even when there are Jews that look like Esav, Hashem still loves them. They're still part of Am Yisrael. And that's why the Haftarah of Parshas told us, where this is where it said, begins, Haloi och Esav li Yaakov. Esav is a brother to Yaakov. Nevertheless, v'oihav es Yaakov es Esav sonesi. That even when Yaakov and Esav are brothers, even when the Jews assimilate, Rahman al-Islam, whatever way it is, Hashem still loves the Jewish people. There's Esav Sonesi. The name Yisrael is with Klal Yisrael, even Bizman HaGolus. Even in exile, even after the Churban, we are still called Yisrael. We can still overpower the Yetzer Hara. We can still defeat all the powers of evil, even during the time of Golus. This we see in this week's parasha. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor es kol asher asa Yisrael lo emayri. What Balak sees over here is that even when Yaakov does something which seems to be deceitful, he's taking away the brachas from his brother, or he buys the bechayra, which ad hayayim the goyim consider that a deceitful act. He's still called Yisrael. Nevertheless, that's why throughout this parasha, whenever Bilam is prophesizing, he's always referring to Klal Yisrael as Yaakov and Yisrael, but he's mentioning the name Yisrael over and over again. Again, among their conversations, never do they refer to us as Yisrael. They don't believe we deserve that title. They don't want that we should get that title. But the Torah tells us throughout this parasha, that's why we begin right away, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor es kol asher asa Yisrael lo emayri, Vayeshev Yisrael bashitim, Vayitzomed, even when Vayitzomed Yisrael lebaal pa'or, just like Vayitzomed ha'om lebaal pa'or. Nevertheless, yes, Vayicharaf Hashem be Yisrael. Yes, Hashem is angry, but we're still Yisrael. In the Haftarah this week in Micha, we read, Zachor, Ami Zachor no ma yoatz balak melech moyav, ume ono oisai bilam ben ba'or, menashitim ad ha-gilgol, the man das titkais Hashem. What does that mean, menashitim ad ha-gilgol? Says Rashi in Micha, Rashi also in the Gemara tells this to us in Sanhedrin where it talks about this, that Bilam is telling Balak, I'm sorry, I just can't get their God to be angry at them, because it says Bilam knew the moment that Hashem gets angry. Kael zoyeim v'chol yoyim, but yet he says, mo ekoiv loy kaboy kael, mo ezoyim loy zoyim Hashem. He's just not getting angry. The Chazal say that really, we deserve Hashem's wrath. The Klal Yisrael, we're not on such a high level, especially as we see what happens right afterwards. But nevertheless, even min hashitim ad ha-gilgol, Hashem does not get angry, even though at the end of the parasha it does say, v'yichraf Hashem b'Yisrael, but that's ready after Bilam leaves. If Hashem would have got angry, the Gemara says, even for 1 second during the entire episode of Bilam and Balak, the Gemara uses the expression, like nishtaya sorid upolit, there would have been no one left from Klal Yisrael, Bilam's curses would have taken effect. But instead, all the klolois and all the intended curses in this parasha, which Chazal say you could see from the brachas what his intent really was, were all nishapech leklola. Balak is the parasha of v'nahapechu. This is the parasha where everything is turned around. All the curses become blessings. And dafkan Shivasa Betamuz, which this year Shivasa Betamuz is a yomtif, like the way it's going to be, because it's Shabbos. We're eating, we're feasting, we're happy. And we hope that we're going to remain that way, that before Shabbos, or Shabbos the latest, we will already hear the Besura Torah from Pinchas Ze'eliyahu, that there'll be no need to fast this Sunday, and certainly not in 3 weeks from this Sunday. And especially when Chazal tell us, when we see nations antagonizing one another, Malchios, Mizgaros, Zu Bezu, saber rattling as they call it, Mitzapei L'Raglai Shel Mashiach, says the Medrash, that when you hear, today it's not hard to hear and find out things. The world that we live in today, we find out everything that's going on very, very quickly. And when America is sending battleships to the Persian Gulf, and when Iran is testing missiles, that's definitely Malchios Mizgaros Zu Bezu, especially in that part of the world, and especially we know the effects and the repercussions of what could happen in that part of the world. And especially that Chazal tell us, the famous Medrash that we've been mentioning throughout the year, what's going to happen, Shana Shemelech HaMashiach Niglaboy, Melech Poras, Megara B'Melech Arvi, no one really knows these things. It's not really kedai even to say it, because we don't know for sure what anything really means. We have a right, though, when we hear this, to inspire ourselves, to elevate ourselves, because maybe it is. We can't go wrong. No one can go wrong if they think that Mashiach is coming. And you still believe, even if it doesn't happen exactly today or tomorrow, believing that it's happening and it's definitely coming soon only make us greater. Because when a person knows and believes that Mashiach is coming, he betters himself, he prepares. That's why it's such an important thing. We ask, why is it so important to believe in Mashiach? If I don't believe in Mashiach, so what? If Sam Sofer, in fact, writes it, it's not one of the Yud Gimel Likrim, he argues with the Rambam. But the universal acceptance is the Yud Gimel Ikrim. It is an Ikr. The Rambam says it's an Ikr in Yahadus. And the reason why it's an Ikr in Yahadus is because someone who doesn't anticipate the coming of Mashiach means he doesn't care that the Shechinah is in Golus, that Jews are dying, that Jews are in jail, that Am Yisrael is suffering all over the world, and also a person that's not anticipating his coming every day, then that means he's not really serving Hashem. Because if someone is really serving Hashem the way to his fullest, he's ready for Mashiach. A person who really believes and really looks forward to it means that he's obviously spiritual. Because a person who's into the materialism of this world does not want Mashiach to come. He has no need for that. He could wait till he gets older. When he retires, when he's in the old age home, then he'll worry about it. But certainly not now. That's what Bilam says. Bilam says, Erenu v'loy ata. It's not now. Don't worry, it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in your life. It's going to happen when you're old. That's what Bilam says. That's what the Satan says. That's what the Yetzirah wants us to say. But as the Rambam says, a Yid has to not only believe, but anticipate. Mechake. B'chol yoyim sheyovay. Achake loy b'chol yoyim sheyovay. It's an ikur in Yahadus. And the Rambam says it's part of, and as we said before, it's part of Torah. It's not only what it's discussed in Chazal and Nevi'im, and that's enough. But it's part of Torah. It's in Parshas Balak. It's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dorach koichav mi Yaakov, v'kom shevet mi Yisrael. Oy mi yichya mi sumoy keil. All the Bilam is prophesizing that the Jews have a future. Balak wants that Bilam should curse the Jewish people so that they should have no future. They should have no kingdom. Who's the one who prophesizes that the only kingdom that's going to last is going to be the Jewish kingdom? Bilam, the Yered mi Yaakov, the Hevid Sorid Meir, Umochatz Pase Moya, the Karkar Kolbenei Sheis. All the kingdoms in the world are going to fall. But David Melech Yisrael, Chai Vekayam, forever. The Jewish people are here for Am Yisrael, Yisrael Dafka, Am Yisrael Chai, David Melech Yisrael, Chai Vekayam. This week's Pirkei Avos, twice, the only perek of all the parakim, I think the only time in the entire Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, that David is referred to as David Melech Yisrael, is in Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos, which we read prior to Shavuos, which is when David was born and David passed away, and prior to Yudzayin Tammuz, or this year on Shavuos B'Tammuz, which would have been the completion of Matan Torah. What started on Shavuos was supposed to be completed on Shavuos B'Tammuz, which, as we mentioned before, is when Boaz marries Ruth, so the seed of David is planted, and in the Pirkei Avos twice we mention David Melech Yisrael Loilomad Me'achi Toifel Ala Perek Echor. Or later it says V'Kosav B'Tehillim She'Kosav David Melech Yisrael Toifel Yisrael Aspicha Me'Alfei Zohar V'Chosef. The last Perek of Pirkei Avos, which corresponds to the last millennium, the Elef Hashishi, the sixth Perek, which was attached. It's really a brisa. It's really outside of Mishnayos, what is attached to the five Prokem prior, which we call Perek Kinyan Torah, which ends with the Oyim Hashem Yimloich Va'olam Va'ed, that Hashem is going to rule forever, and that rule, that Malchus, is going to manifest itself in this world through Mashiach ben David, a descendant of David HaMelech, of Rus, of Egl, of Balak. The irony, that's the greatest, the sense of humor that Hashem has, that Balak, who's trying to eradicate the Jewish people, Balak who's trying to make sure the Jews have no future, the future of the Jewish people come from him. And he has no future, but yet the future of the Jewish people come from him. Parshas Balak has 104 psukim, and the word to remember how many psukim Parshas Balak has is the word Manoyach. That's the simon. Manoyach is Mashiach. When Naomi says to Rus, Avakesh Loch Manoyach, I'm going to search for you for someone who's going to console you. The Manoyach, that was Boaz, but that the Rekeach says that's Mashiach. Avakesh Loch, Begematria, Melech HaMashiach. Avakesh Loch Manoyach. Manoyach is the same Isis as Nochum and the same Isis as Nachamu. Balak is a comforting parasha. Balak is the parasha that consoles us as we enter the period known as the Bein HaMetzorim. And a Jew might feel down another year in Golus, Rachmana Litzlan, if Chas V'Shalom was still in Golus by this Sunday. Parshas Balak consoles us. Parshas Balak takes us into the 3 weeks and tells us that whatever, we are always called Yisrael. We are always part of Hashem's people, and there's going to be an end to all of this, and Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people, and Eliyahu HaNavi is coming. We see Pinchas being revealed here right before Shavuos B'Tammuz. The Nechama of Klal Yisrael is in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Balak. The Chassam Sofer brings down from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that Balak says to Bilam, "La koiv oivai lekachticha v'hinei beirachta borech." I ordered you to curse, and instead you blessed. He says an amazing thing, and Svarim try to explain it. We don't have the arichas to go through it now, but that there are really 354 days in a lunar year. 132 days are Yom Tov. He brings all the Yomim Tovim, all the Shabbos, there are 132 days that are Yom Tov, that he wouldn't say Tachana and so on. And there are 222 that are not. He says, Lokoiv Oivai, look, I asked you to curse my enemies. Lokoiv is Kuf Lamed Beis, the same letters as Balak, 132. Meaning that Balak wanted Bilam to curse the Jews that they shouldn't have the 132 days of Yom Tov. And not only did I not succeed, but Hine Beirachta Borech. Borech is 222. Which together with 132 is 354. The 222 days that are not Shabbos and Yom Tov, you bless them also. It's like the Jews have every day Yom Tov. I ask you to curse them that they shouldn't even have the 132 days of Yom Tov. You ended up benching even the 222 days left. That's what Chassam Sofer brings down Rabbi Kiva Eiger. The Gra is known to have said, based on the Medrash that says that Hashem had to sort of put a hook in Bilam's mouth to prevent him from cursing the Jews. That's one pshat. And the other pshat is he forced brachas out of his mouth. There was one pshat, he prevented him from cursing. The other one is that he forced brachas. What exactly is going on? So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, said an amazing thing. He said that Bilam seemed to have known that the Hashem's name Elokim is Midas Hadin, and that Yud-Kei without Vav-Kei is also Midas Hadin. So Bilam was trying to say Elokim, but after he said Aleph Lamed, he couldn't say the Hey Yud Mem, so it remained with Aleph Lamed. Kale is Chesed. Chesed, Kale, Kol Hayoyim. That's how Hashem prevents Bilam from uttering Elokim, because as soon as he said Kale, he couldn't say the Hey Yud Mem, so he ended up benching the Jewish people, because Kale is Chesed. And then when he wanted to say Yud-Kei, he forced him to say Vav-Kei. So he wanted to only say Yud-Kei, which is not Midas Chesed. He ended up saying the whole name of Hashem. It was Mo Ekoiv Loi Kaboi Kael. Umo Ezoim Loi Zoam Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. He said, how can I curse them? I want to say Elokim, and Kael comes out of my mouth. I want to say Yud-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei comes out of my mouth. The whole parsha is the love of Hashem for the Jewish people. That even when they find themselves in a low state, Hashem turns all the klalos into brachos, and the name Yisrael remains with Am Yisrael throughout our whole history. We are always referred to as Am Yisrael. Bini Bechayri Yisrael. Bechayri Yisrael is Begematria Topshin Ayin Gimel, hopefully before that. But by Topshin Ayin Gimel, we should already experience Hashem should announce Bechayri Yisrael. He redeems us. We are His firstborn. Bechayri Yisrael is Begematria Bechaydish Tammuz, because Tammuz is the month that we lost the Bechayra somewhat because of the Egel that took place in the month of Tammuz. But despite the fact that the Bechayra, the Avodah, is no longer, the service in the Beis Hamikdash is no longer done by the firstborns because of Chet HaEgel, but the Kedusha of Bechayra still exists. That we see clearly, that right after the Chet HaEgel in Parshas Kisisa, it says, Kol Peta Rechem Li, Bechayl Bechar Adam Bevonecha Tifter. Chaim Kanievsky writes in his Sefer on Chumash, that the reason why the Torah repeats it in Parshas Kisisa is because one might think that after the Chet HaEgel, that there's no more sanctity to firstborns, because they worship the Egel, and they don't serve in the Mishkan anymore. So the Torah has to tell us that the Kedusha of the Bechayra is still there, and it has to be redeemed. And perhaps that's the same idea here. Even though the Chet HaEgel occurred in the month of Tammuz, and because of that, Klal Yisrael lost many Madregas, all the Madregas that we lost because of Chet HaEgel. Nevertheless, we are always still Hashem's firstborn. We're always called the Bechor, and we are always referred to as Yisrael. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. That's why it's interesting that the name of Hashem, the Tseiruf Shem Havaya, that's coming up for Chodesh Menachem Av, is Haskeis Ushma Yisrael Hayoyim. That's Hey Yud, Hey Vav, Yud Kei. The only Tseiruf Shem Havaya that has the name Yisrael in it is the one for Chodesh Menachem Av, the lowest month of the year. The lowest month of the year, the month in which we lost the Beis HaMikdash and all the other tragedies. Menachem Av, Yisayim Hayinu Ve'ein Av, and so on. Dafka that month, the combination of Hashem's name contains the word Yisrael, and it haskeis ushma Yisrael hayom, to console us that the name Yisrael was never taken away from Am Yisrael. And in the future it will be revealed, Oymi Yichya Misumai Kael is going on the nations. The nations that are going to Chas V'Sholom try to prevent, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, try to prevent Hashem from revealing Himself to Am Yisrael at the end of time, to try to hinder the Geula process, as we see today with Yishmael setting up shop on the Makom HaMikdash, building a cemetery on the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash. All of this is to try to prevent Oymi Yichya Misumai Kael. The name Kael is going to remain with Am Yisrael and taken away from Yishmael. We are the Am HaNivchar. This is going to be revealed hopefully very, very soon. They will be zeichet to see all of this bechesed uberachamim without any midas hadin. All the brachas and all the nevuahs, all the prophecies of Geula that are in this parasha, which we're going to see. We know we're going to see it because the pasuk says so. It's a haftach. It's a promise. It has to happen. That's a haftach. If it's mentioned in the Torah, it has to happen no matter what. There's no Shema Yigroim Hachet. It has to happen. It's just that it'll be easier for us if we deserve it. It'll be easier for us if we do tshuva and we're ready for it. It's going to happen even if we don't do tshuva. But the reason why we're told all the events that transpire prior to the Geula is that we should be ready and we should be able to be mekabel it and have the kelim to be mekabel the great oirois that are coming. May we be zeicher with our eyes. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvach ha'letziyon b'racham. We should see all these nevuas happen. And be zeicher to see Eliyahu HaNavi in a guf, Gashmi, down here in this world, who will usher in the Messianic era. Okay, very good night. I gotta run to a wedding.